You would turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. This morning we're continuing our series where we're looking at some of these big words in the Bible, words that maybe we are not quite sure how to define them, or maybe we don't understand what the Bible means by these words. And we're talking about this morning another one of these words, the word justification. And the reason why we're talking about these, we're not just picking out long words in the Bible and saying, well, we're going to do a lesson on that. We're looking at words that all have to do with our salvation and the plan of redemption that God has put in place in order to save us from our sins. We've talked about so far the propitiation, the sacrifice Jesus made, where His mercy was extended to us, where we can be spared from the wrath of God. We talked about reconciliation, where we can be one with God. We can have fellowship with Him through the sacrifice of Christ. Last week we talked about sanctification, that we have a new life in Christ, that we are set apart for God's purpose after having been cleansed of our sins. And now this week, in this lesson, we're talking about justification and what that means, what it means to be justified and how we can be justified before God. We're going to be talking about that here in our lesson today. So this word here, the word justification, well, before we get into this, we'll read the text in Romans chapter 4, where we're going to be starting from. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, and we see where this word is used or how this term is used. Romans 4, 1, it says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness." So here in these verses, it talks about Abraham being justified. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be justified? How can we be justified before God? Well, that word for justification, which a different version of the word is used here in this text, being justified, but it's all related together. But the word justification, dikaios in the Greek, refers to God declaring man to be free from guilt and declaring that man is right before Him. This is about God declaring this about us. This is not us saying, well, I think I'm right, so that means I'm justified. No, this is God who is declaring us to be this. It is related to the word for righteous. You can see the words on the screen, the Greek words, that even if you don't read Greek or can't pronounce Greek, and I have trouble pronouncing these words too, that you can at least see from the words on the board or on the screen that these are related. You can see the beginning of this, that dikaios for righteous and dikaiosune for righteousness. You can see how closely they are in spelling and all of that to the word for justification. So we think about justification, it's tied to that idea of righteousness, that of being righteous or practicing righteousness. This is related to this idea of justification, that God is declaring us to be right before Him. This is what we're talking about here. And Jesus, through His death on the cross, made it possible that God could declare us to be right before Him. Without Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we could not be justified. We could not be righteous. And we're going to talk about this here as we go on, but you have the works and the things that Abraham did, the things that we might do. It mentions there the being justified by works. Other passages talk about the works of the law, that we might do all of those things. But without the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we could not be justified. We could not be right in the sight of God. There's a difference. And we'll talk about that as we go on through this lesson. But keep this in mind as we talk about this word, about justification, about how closely connected it is to this idea of righteousness, that we can't separate those from one another. To be righteous, to be right before God is what we're talking about here with justification. So we think about this concept and what the scriptures teach about this before we get back into the text that we read here a minute ago. But we need to understand that we cannot justify ourselves. We think about our standing before God. We cannot go to God and say that, well, no, I did this, I did that, I think that I'm right, and I feel that I'm right, so that means I'm right and God has to accept me. There are a lot of people, even if they don't word it quite that way, they have this concept that they think they're right, and so that means God has to accept them. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 16, he was addressing the Pharisees here, and as we read through the Gospels especially, we can see all sorts of problems that the Pharisees had. And the reasons why they were rebuked by Jesus, condemned by Jesus, why they needed to be corrected. In this instance, he talks about their love of money. And that was why he was talking to them here. They were scoffing at what he was saying. But he says in verse 15, he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." It says, what you are doing and what you have always been doing, you are justifying yourselves in the sight of men. You are portraying yourselves in such a way that other people will look at you and will say, well, yeah, that person is religious. That person is righteous. And so they portray themselves as being this way, where other people will look at them and say that, yes, that's a person who's trying to serve God. That's a person trying to do this. Now, on one hand, we are to do this. We are to present ourselves in a way that people see us. They see our good works, as Jesus talked about in Matthew 5, verse 16. We let our light shine, that people see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. What the Pharisees were doing was different. They were wanting people to see their good works so they would glorify them. They wanted to be esteemed in the sight of men. They were doing it more for a show than they were out of a sincere desire to serve the Lord. But Jesus said here in this verse, you can't justify yourself. You're trying to justify yourselves before others. We can't do that. God knows our hearts. He knows all of our faults, that we might be able to present a picture of us before others that may not be completely accurate and certainly not the whole picture. God knows the whole picture. God knows everything about us, and He is the one who judges us, and He judges us by a different standard than we often hold ourselves to. That we don't look at our faults. We don't look at the things that we've done wrong. We just look at, well, this is what I've done good, and look how great I am. God's judged us by a different standard. God sees what others do not see. We cannot justify ourselves. And we see over in Romans chapter 8 that God is the one. We're talking about justification here. God is the one who provides that justification. It's not through anyone else. It's not through some religious body or even a church. It's not dependent on what others think. God is the one who justifies. Romans 8 and verse 31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." Paul here in this passage is saying that there are people who are going to oppose us. He says, if God is for us, who is against us? Well, there are people who are against us. And he would go on and talk about all these things that cannot separate us from the love of God. But there are all of these forces, all of these people, all of these entities that are against us. But God is for us. And he says in verse 33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Well, there will be people who will bring charges against God's elect. There will be people who will say that you are too narrow-minded, that you are too legalistic because you're trying to say we have to follow what the Bible teaches. You will have people who will, and this has been in, especially in other countries where you have persecution against Christians, that Christians can be accused of not submitting to authorities or being seditious or being rebellious, and all of these charges that might be made. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Well, people will bring those charges. But it says God is the one who justifies. God is the one who says whether we are right or not. And it's not dependent upon what others say. You might have other churches say, well, you over there, you don't, you're not right because you don't accept, all the people that we accept, that you don't go along with everything that society does. You will have leaders, civil leaders, who will persecute the church because they won't regard them as the highest authority. We recognize Jesus and as the highest authority, as he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Might have these charges might be brought against us. God is the one who justifies. James 4, verse 12 says, he is the one lawgiver and the one judge. So we don't. No one has a right to condemn us and to judge us in that way. At the same time, we need to be careful that we are not judging others in the same way. That God is the one who justifies. And it doesn't matter if we think someone is right or wrong. What matters is what God says, if they're right or wrong. God is the one who justifies. Also, back in Romans chapter 3, getting close to the context where we started our lesson in Romans 4, but Romans chapter 3 says we are justified by grace. Verse 24 says, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Justified by his grace. And then skipping over to chapter 5 of Romans, Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 says, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. And in those verses, we talked about reconciliation in that lesson. It says we are justified by his blood. We are made right before God through the blood of Christ, through the sacrifice that he made. The grace of God has been extended to us. There's nothing that we do to earn this. It is by grace. It is unmerited favor. Paul would say in Romans 5 and verse 8 that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Not because we had done so many great things. And, well, look how good we are, so now God is going to justify us. We were still sinners when Christ died for us. So we are justified by grace, not through what we earn. We think about what we earn. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. We don't want what we earn. We are justified by the grace of God, and we are justified by faith in Christ. Romans 3 and verse 28 says, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. That's important, an important distinction here, apart from works of the law, because in our text, when it says in Romans 4 and verse 2, Abraham was justified by works. Well, that's what he's talking about, works of the law. He defined it in that context, which includes verse 28. But he says we're not justified by works of the law. We are justified by faith. In the text that was read at the beginning, before the lesson, Galatians 3:24 says the law is our schoolmaster, or our guardian, our tutor, to lead us to Christ, that we can be justified by faith. We are justified by faith, not by works of the law. But over in James chapter 2, this is an important point to remember because, again, a lot of people will misunderstand this point. And they'll think, well, justified by faith, that means that, well, we're justified by faith only and there's nothing that we do. It says, well, see, Abraham was not justified by works. Well, he's talking about works of the law. We look at the works that we are to do in James 2 and verse 21, where it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Keep in mind that James is using the same example that Paul was using in Romans. They're both citing Abraham. They're both making the same point. People want to try to pit these two passages against each other and say that James was teaching something different than Paul. They were not teaching different things. They were using the same example. They were teaching the same thing. It's just that their emphasis was on a different area. Paul was addressing the misconception that we can be justified by works of the law. And Abraham proves we can't be justified by works of the law. But how was he justified? Well, James says he was justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar. You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Again, quoting the same thing that Paul did. And he was called the friend of God. Verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. We're not justified by faith alone or faith only, but it's a faith that is an active faith. We are justified by works of faith. If we want to put these passages together, that's what they're teaching. Justified not by works of the law, not by works that we've come up with that we can boast about, but we are justified by works of faith. We have faith in God. We believe in Him. And we are putting that faith into practice, just as Abraham did. But part of this, being justified by faith and making sure that we are doing what the Lord wants us to do, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this is an important point to remember in this. We are justified, we are made right, or declared to be right by God, but there's something that we need to do in order to have God declare us to be right. It mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. All of these things he mentions here, and this is not a complete list, but he mentions several things that of these practices that someone would be involved in. This way of life that people would adopt. It says people who practice these things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And our society wants to pick out, you know, ones like homosexuality and say, why does the Bible have to be against that? And say, well, we just want to accept all of those things. The Bible doesn't just condemn homosexuality. It's listed in here. But there are also other sins that are just as condemning for us as that one is. But the point is, the reason why he mentions this here is that these ones will not inherit the kingdom of God. But verse 11, such were some of you. You engaged in these practices. You were doing some of these things. And you gave them up. You're not still doing that. You're not still an adulterer. You're not still a swindler. You're not still a drunkard. You're not still a homosexual. You've given those things up. He says you were washed. Your sins were washed away in baptism, as we've talked about. We've been talking about that in our Bible class in the book of Acts with the conversion of Saul. And he was told to rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. He says, you were washed. You were sanctified, forgiven, set apart for God's purpose. You have a new life in Christ. We talked about that last week. And then you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. God says you are right before me because you've given these things up. You've been cleansed of your sins. You have a new life in Christ. You are right before God. But we have to give up our sin and turn to the Lord. We cannot say, well, we're going to continue in our sin. When we continue our sin, we're not going to be justified before God. We have to be willing to give up our sin and turn from it and follow the Lord. So now we go back to Romans chapter 4 and the passage that we read at the beginning, because we want to understand the concept of justification, what that looks like now in the context that we were reading this from. Paul began by addressing the misconception that engaging in works, and again, works of the law, verse 28 of chapter 3, which is just a few verses ahead of this. And remember, those chapter divisions were not part of the original text. Those were added later. So when you see a chapter division, don't automatically think, well, here's a completely new topic and a completely new thing we're talking about. It's all in the same context. So he said in verse 28, we're justified by faith apart from works of the law. In verse 2, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What works? He's talking about the works of the law. The law was given after Abraham was. He could not be justified by works of the law. But he says, these ones here, they're trying to do these works, just like the Pharisees that we read about in Luke chapter 16. They're doing these works to impress others, to be justified before men. We're not doing our works for that reason. Our works, the things that we do, might impress other people, but that's not why we're doing them. That should not be our motivation. God sees the whole picture. God sees our hearts. God sees our faults. And so we cannot say, well, I'm going to do all these things and I'll be justified. That's not what we do. God is the one who credits us as being righteous. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 4, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And remember, we were looking at the definition of justification. And even if you can't read or pronounce those Greek words, we saw how close they were. Justification, righteous, righteousness, all of those are tied together. God is the one who credits us as being righteous. He is the one who credited Abraham as righteous. That's what justifies him. All of this is tied together. God is the one who does this. He justifies us. He does that when we are in Christ. Again, that passage that we read in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. You were washed of your sins. You are now in Christ, have been baptized in Christ. Galatians 3:27, the passage that was read earlier, clothe yourselves with Christ. Your sins have been washed away. You have a new life in Him. Well, now you are justified. God is the one who does this. He justifies us. He declares us as being right if we are in Christ. God is the one who does this, and this is based upon our belief and our faith in God. As we see in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it was credited or reckoned or counted to him as righteousness. Verse 5, it's not to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly. His faith is credited as righteousness. So it's not, we're going to take all the works of the law, we're going to do all of those, and no, that's not the basis of this. We don't have to keep the old law. But we believe in the one who justifies the ungodly. And that faith is credited as righteousness. In verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we looked at that passage in James chapter 2. We talk about being justified by faith. We're not justified by faith only or faith alone. That's what a lot of people think when they read verses like this in Romans 5 and verse 1. They've been conditioned to think that we're saved by faith alone or faith only. So they read this verse thinking that that is in here. Therefore, having been justified by faith alone, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not what the verse says. We're justified by faith. And the only time in the scriptures that you can find the words together, faith alone or faith only, is in James 2 and verse 24, where James says, you see that man is justified by works and not by faith alone. We cannot separate them from one another. When he talks about the one who does not work and not being justified by works, he's talking about works that are detached from faith in Christ. These are not the works that God has given us to do. They are works that we've come up with, or works of the old law, or works that someone has given us. And that's not the basis of why we're saved. or why we're justified. We're justified by faith in doing what the Lord wants us to do. Because we do not want to be credited for what we are, for what we're truly due, what is due to us, what we have earned. Romans 4 and verse 4 says, "Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due." And we think, well, what is it that we are due? We've mentioned it already. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." If you think about what we have earned, what we deserve to be punished for our sins because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We don't want to think that, well, we are under some system that we are going to get what we deserve or what we have earned. We don't want what we've earned. We are saved by the grace of God. We are justified by His grace. But that faith, we need to understand that, recognizing this point that we don't earn our salvation, that the only thing that we have earned is punishment, that does not mean that we simply sit back and do nothing. Going back to the book of James, in James 2, verse 17, says, "Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" We could say that, well, I have faith, I believe in Jesus. Well, verse 19, "You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder." The demons recognized who Jesus was. The demons knew who God was. But they didn't have the faith that we are to have, the faith that leads them to obey God. They believed, but they weren't going to be saved. If we believe in Jesus, we need to do what He has told us to do in order to be saved. We can be washed, we can be sanctified, we can be justified. And by His grace, we can be saved. Because we do not want what we have earned, because that is destruction. So through Jesus' death on the cross, we can be justified before God. We can stand before God and He recognizes us as being right and righteous before Him. This is done by the grace of God, because He sent His Son to die on the cross. Jesus shed His blood on the cross for us. We are justified through His blood. But we need to respond in faith. Justified by faith. And that faith is an active faith, is an obedient faith. As Abraham, he was justified by faith and justified by works. Those were going together. His faith was working with his works. We need to faithfully obey the Lord so that He could recognize us or reckon us as being righteous. And no matter what others say about us, no matter what society says, no matter what other churches say, no matter what our family says, what our friends, whatever it might be, other people may not see things this way. But God is the one who justifies. Amen. We don't have to have the approval of others. We don't have to have others say that, well, yes, I think you're right, and so you know, you can call yourself righteous. God is the one who justifies. And we can be justified before Him through faith in Christ. So we need to take advantage of that sacrifice of Christ on the cross so that we can be right before God. And as we extend the invitation, we invite anyone who is here this morning who has not yet obeyed the gospel, not yet put on Christ in baptism. We talk about that a little bit, how we have our sins washed away. We're washed. Now we have a new life in Christ and we are justified before God. If you need to obey the gospel and put on Christ in baptism, you believe that He is the Christ, you're willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith, you can be baptized today to have your sins washed away. And if you've done that and have fallen away, or maybe not completely fallen away, but you've allowed sin in your life and you need to get rid of that, then repent of that and pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. If we can help you in any way, we'd be happy to do that. But whatever your need is, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.